episode 115 of
Brutal Battle. It is Carlin again. It is Mike Johnzak on the patented, as I've said it before, Brutal Battle couch. Is the couch comfy, Mike?
Couch is damn comfy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We only the best. Only the best for our guests. You know, sometimes not the best beer, but sometimes the best beer.
It's all random, and that's one of the things I love. Random and blind.
And we are still sipping on the Nelson by Alpine Beer Company, so...
Cheers, delicious.
Thanks again, Carlos Guerrero, you the man. Mm. All right, well, I feel like there's something I may be forgetting. Is there something I typically do in the beginning?
Hoppy something.
Hop knowledge. Yeah, that's exactly it. So the one for today is actually a pretty much discontinued hop called Smooth Cone. Smooth Cone hop.
Sounds like a sexual position.
Yeah. Hey, did you get to the Smooth Cone in the Kama Sutra yet?
Only on Friday nights.
Smooth Cone on Fridays. So Smooth Cone hops were developed at the Rewaka Research Station in New Zealand in the early 1960s. It's a cross between California cluster and open pollination, apparently. It's a sister, or our first choice hops are actually a sister of the Smooth Cone, and this ended up having its glory days in the 1960s and the 1970s, but apparently time has passed for that commercially. It was used to help develop the next generation of Super Alpha varieties in New Zealand, which include Green Bullet, Super Alpha, and Alpha Roma.
I love me some Green Bullet.
Yeah, Green Bullet's been pretty good. Which I remember Duclaw had done an anti-venom...
Green Bullet version. Yeah. Green Flash has a limited release Green Bullet IPA do.
It's compared a lot to Cluster Hops, which has some of the shared super alpha qualities. Has a balanced floral character, apparently. It's not grown commercially anymore, but they do believe that somewhere in New Zealand they are still being grown and used on a very small scale. So there are actually no examples for this one, as you can imagine, because...
It's been discontinued for a while, from right, what it sounds like.
Because popular in the 60s and 70s, it's been over 40 years. It's been basically...
Sounds like we might need to try and bring this one back.
Brewers, get on it. Smooth Cone. Let's get a single hop Smooth Cone IPA and go.
Flying Dog, I'm looking at you. You've been doing a lot of yeah, solid single hop IPAs.
That is
10%ers that you would never know are 10%.
That's true. That's what Flying Dog does. They do those single hop things and quite well. I mean,
the Warrior was like, the last one, which was quite tasty. Before that, they did the HBC 321, 431, something like that. I think it was 431. Yeah. Another solid one.
So today's topic, Mike, I wanted to put to you. I know I gave you this a little bit ahead of time just because I wanted you to be able to think about it. But there's a bit of a debate out there about the rating and review of craft beer, which obviously that's what this podcast does. We, you know, blindly taste and review, rate the beers. Also, I do it on my, you know, YouTube videos. If anyone wants to check those out, you can just search Brutal Battle Beer Break on YouTube and they'll come up. I've done like 50-some at this point. So you have the people who love it and find it helpful and necessary, and then you have people, usually people in the craft beer industry, who are like, I really hate this. I think it's terrible. Why can't we just drink the beer? And just, you know, you don't need to rate it. You don't need to say this is great and that's terrible and whatever.
I believe in ratings and rating your beer. My biggest beef is when somebody just blindly puts a number on it and doesn't give any kind of description, reason why. Tasting something is a very subjective, personal thing.
Right.
So when you just put a random number on it, how am I supposed to gauge whether I'm going to like that or not unless I actually know you and know your beer drinking style?
So you're mainly
Please put descriptors.
Right. So you're talking mainly from like an Untappd perspective.
Untappd, Rate Beer, Beer Advocate, yeah, all those kind of big online beer drinking rate things. It's like, I like the rating. They're a great concept, but you can't just put a number or not put a number like Untappd. That irritates me the most when somebody just checks in a beer.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think. Tell me what you want.
Yeah. And that's interesting because when I first started with Untappd, and I, you know, I still do it. When I first started with it, I would just put the beers in with the ratings.
Yep.
But then I was just like, you know, no, I really should be saying something about what I'm getting out of it.
It doesn't have to be much. It doesn't have to be a long paragraph of, well, I get these notes. Just a simple description of, this is why I liked it. This is why I didn't like it.
It's good for, yeah, telling people why the decision was made. So then people can look at it and be like, oh, they gave it, you know, they gave it 2.5, but that's because they didn't like this aspect.
Correct.
Of it.
Or, like, I've untapped many of sour beers, and when I untap a sour beer, you better believe it's going to be one, maybe two bottle caps, and in the description it goes, I hate sours. This is what I got from it. I can see how somebody likes it, but I hate sours.
And that's helpful for people. But what I feel like what's interesting for me, I've been thinking about this for a little bit, and I see it from two perspectives. And people would definitely assume, I would think, that my main perspective is going to be like, I'm cool with ratings, because that's what we do on the show, obviously. By and large, I think I am okay with it, but I do see problems with it when people get really carried away.
Very carried away.
You know, it's good when you're talking, you know, in your instances, what you're talking about, where people, you know, give a rating and they'll give a reason for the rating. I'm cool with that. I think that's fine. We do that kind of stuff on the show. What is not cool and not helpful is when people just give a rating without saying anything else about it. Or people give a rating and they say things just to be mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just for the point of being
this
mean.
This beer tastes like donkey butt. One, yeah, how exactly. Do you know what that tastes like? Two.
Right. And interestingly enough, a perfect example I had seen recently. Somebody went to Jailbreak Brewing, which is in Laurel.
Making some really quality beers. Yeah. Laurel, Maryland.
Yep, they're close to us. And yeah, they've made some good stuff. Big Punisher, Welcome to Scoville.
Welcome to Scoville is one of the few pepper beers I can actually enjoy to drink. Because you get here. The nice jalapeno green flesh flavor without any of the heat.
Yep, good for me. But someone had posted some review online of their brewery and just went on this long diatribe, like, the beers suck because I hate them. And they didn't give, like, any legitimate reasons for anything. And they were saying, they were going over the top. They were just saying things to be ridiculous. And they say, Big Punisher sucks. It should be called Satan's Taint. And just, like, you're just being inflammatory for the sake of being inflammatory. And those are the trolls.
Yeah, you know, looking for attention.
Right, the people who just want it. Now, there are breweries who will have that kind of thing show up, and they handle it wrong, in my opinion, where they go back at the person over it, and they say, hey, screw you, and I've seen that happen, and to me, that makes a brewery look bad. It's a bad idea. I think Jailbreak handled it well, because they posted it, and what they said to about that person is, hey, man, we still love you. That's a great way to handle it. Great way.
That reminds me a lot. It was not too long ago, I had a Victory Beer event at my store, Wine World. And the rep from Victory was showing me this YouTube video they put on where they literally had Victory employees reading nasty emails and reviews that people put in and sent. And it was hilarious. One of them, I can't remember the beer they were talking about. They were like, looks like a wet donkey blanket. Tastes like a wet donkey blanket. Smells like a wet donkey blanket. And it was like their Headwater Pale Ale, too, I think if I remember correctly. And it was like,
good beer.
They're just making random stuff up most of the time.
Right.
If you have a valid grievance, put it to the proper authorities. Don't just start talking trash about people just because.
So I talked about what's ridiculous about rating and reviewing. Now I want to talk about what's legitimate about it. What's legitimate about it is there are so many craft beers out there. You cannot try everything. And for that reason, your craft beer drinker is going to want to be informed. So they're going to want some sort of guideline to go by so they're not just throwing money away, in their opinion. And I know I feel that way. For a while, when I was trying to get to 1,000 beers tried, since I track the beers I try, I would try anything just because I wanted to get to that number. Once I got there,
you had that goal.
Once I got there, I was like, you know what? I think I want to start spending my money more wisely, and I just want to buy stuff that I think I will like.
Yep.
That's where things like Untappd, things like Beer Advocate, potentially this show for some people, come in handy. Because you can take a look and you can say, oh, here's a beer that they're, you know, say it's Beer Advocate. Here's a beer they're rating an 80, and I'm on that beer. well, here's a beer they're rating like a 95. Okay, in comparison to where that 81 is, that should be great. I'm going to buy it and take my chances on it. Now, sometimes that backfires because, you know, your taste is different potentially from a lot of other people. But a lot of times it's a good guideline. So I think that when breweries complain about it, I think they need to understand that this is what's happening. That you, this is capitalism. You know, when you have so many choices in an industry, you need to make sure that you're going to purchase a good product because you're spending your hard-earned money. And that's, I think, what this boils down to. Although there are some people, like we talked about, who are just looking for attention and just want to be jerks.
They're just haters drinking their haterade.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's capitalism. That's just what's going to happen. And I would say, for an example, are there instances of people saying, why, with restaurants, why can't we just eat the food? Why do we have to give reviews and why do we have to say it's good
why
or bad?
Why do we
got to
put it on Yelp?
Why can't we just eat it?
Yeah.
Nobody says that about restaurant food. So I don't think we should be able to say that about craft beer either. It's only fair that if as a brewery you're making money from people, that you expect that your stuff will be looked at with
rated
scrutiny.
Upon. Yeah.
Right. The only instance where I would say it's not appropriate for people to rate or really talk about the beer at all is if breweries are just giving it away. Straight up. That's my opinion on it. So, but I will say with some of the rating systems, they do rely on some people being smart enough to tailor them to their own mind. You know, like, perfect example, this show. You know, like Kyle Norman, a listener of the show, and he's been on a few times, has said, usually when I listen to what you rate, I will adjust it up to, and that's my rating in real life. Okay, and people need to be able to listen to something or read something and make that adjustment. So there, it does take some education. So if people aren't that educated on it, it can cause problems.
Yep.
But that's just how it is, you know? Another example I'd say is something like Beer Advocate. Beer Advocate is on the opposite end of what this podcast is, and I think they rate things highly to a fault. Yeah,
too high.
Yeah, way too high. You can't find barely anything in the 70s.
No.
Like, it's out of 100, but honestly, it's actually just out of 30 or 40, really.
You're seeing generally 75 to usually the 98, 99 range.
Right.
I think I might have seen one, maybe two beers actually score the 100 mark on there.
And it makes sense to me why they do that, because they are called Beer Advocate. They want to be nice to the beers.
They're trying to push beer, get people to drink more beer.
But the people who look at that site are aware that pretty much nothing is below a 70, so they make adjustments in their mind. And a lot of people will look there and only want the beers that are in the 90s, between 90 and 100.
Yep.
Because they're like, well, that's what's world class. That's what's awesome. And they don't want to mess with anything below that. So... But there have been plenty of times for me where I've tasted a beer, then I've looked it up on Beer Advocate, and I'm like, it only got that?
It deserves way more.
I would put it higher. Yeah. Or ones that I've looked at on there, and I've been like, it got that high? I would not put it that high. So it's an individual thing, and that's where it's dangerous for people to go along with these things, but it's also necessary for them to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
People just need to be informed and smart about it when they're looking at them.
Pay attention to the reviews and whatnot, but don't take them seriously, because whatever that person rated, you might be the complete opposite.
Yes. And, you know, disclaimer with this show, do not listen to what I say and what the co-hosts say and be like...
No, listen to what I say. I'm always right.
Well, I was going to say, don't listen and say, that is gospel, that is what this beer is. Our taste can be vastly different from yours. And, you know, I guarantee there are probably people out there who will listen to this podcast and they'll be like, Carlin's taste is very close to mine, so they will be able to trust whatever I say.
Yep.
But I guarantee the majority of people will hear things and be like, I don't agree with that.
I disagree completely.
It's like I've said before, it's for entertainment purposes. And you
that's
know.
The beautiful thing about this world is we don't always have to agree.
And once again, it's capitalism. That is what happens. You know, consumer reporting is something that's been going on for a long time. Just look at cars. People rate and talk about the quality of cars like crazy. You don't see any car maker saying, why can't people just buy the cars and not rate them?
We're rated on this safety class. We're rated on this. We're rated on this.
Which I also understand that's a little bit ridiculous of me to make that parallel because there are safety concerns involved with, you know, driving crappy cars.
Hey, there's safety concerns in making alcohol. Done improperly with, say, spirits, you can cause somebody to go blind or die. So there's...
Well, that's true.
You know, beer's a little bit more easier than spirits, but it still goes along the same... You screw up a beer, you can give somebody a really, really bad day.
Yeah. Well, also, if it's a beer that's very expensive, someone buys it and they taste it and they're like, this is not well executed at all, now I'm pissed off, I want my money back.
Also, for me, with the rating, I often wonder how fresh is that beer that person is drinking.
Right.
Depending on what styles they are, like a nice, good hoppy IPA, the longer it sits around, the less hop profile. So true. If somebody tries a year, 2 year old Heady Topper, they're not going to rate it nearly as high as a fresh one.
Yeah, because the malt aspect will be significantly higher, and those nice, vibrant, citrusy notes will be very, very diminished.
It's not gone almost at that point.
And that's why, in my opinion, it is important for breweries to bottle date or have a best by date, whatever you want to do.
Personally, working in a liquor store, I like the bottled on date rather than the best by date.
Right.
Because, like, even Stone Arrogant Bastard, a great ageable beer, which I've aged many Arrogant Bastard Double Bastards, they have an enjoy by date on them. And I'm like, no, I've consumed ones going way longer than that time frame, and it's still a very, very solid beer.
Yeah. Well, I think a good example for me personally was that last episode we had that Double Cannon.
Yep.
I believe that's the one I had purchased. Well, when did that beer come out?
Oh,
like January, February?
I want to say right around the February. February maybe okay. Early March.
Okay.
Maybe early March.
So, okay, let's say March. It was bottled. So if it's bottled in March, it's set on the bottle best by August of 2015. I personally don't want it to go that long.
No.
I wouldn't want it to go to August. So, yes, for that reason, I would agree with you. I think the bottled on date is better, and then people can make their decision. Because you'll like it at different stages.
Correct, yeah.
And that's the thing, especially with the hoppier flavored beers, it will diminish over time. So maybe someone would be like, you know, I'm totally cool with getting it at 3 or 4 months old. But there might be some people who are like,
no,
I really don't
hop.
Want it past a month or two. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you. I think the bottled on is significantly more helpful.
And the ones that use that stupid julienne coating or whatever it's called, just give me a date. My customers and people,
secret.
Yeah, they're not dumb. They can figure it out if they really want to. Just put the date on.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, yep, ratings, whether you love it or you hate it. You have
necessary evil.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, yeah. Do you have anything else to say on that, or?
Nah, just remember, ratings are all personal. What somebody somebody rates is good. Like me and Carlin, I hate sour beers. He can dig on some sour beers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and that's why that brings up another thing I think I should say is don't get mad at people when they rate something high or low that you don't agree with, because it's just their taste.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want them to get mad at you when they disagree on something like that.
You don't want somebody to shit on your opinion? Don't shit on theirs.
Exactly. Which, I think a long time ago, years ago, I fell into that kind of trap.
Oh, same here.
Like, what's wrong with you, man? But I realized, I'm like, you know, that's stupid.
I was pretty much the guy that got you into craft beers.
Yeah.
And I still to this day, and I won't deny it, I'm okay with this one. I will talk trash about the Miller, the Coors, the Bud drinkers. It's like, why do you want to have beer-flavored water? When I'm drinking, I want a beer, not beer-flavored water. Some people absolutely love it. That's their prerogative.
Yeah, whatever. My only issue there is I just want to make sure that they've given craft beer a try, like a proper try.
And I hear this all the time at work. I'm not a beer drinker. No, you just haven't found the right beer for you.
Yes.
The amount of styles, the variations out there, trust me.
There's at least one.
I could find at least one, if not a good two handfuls of beer you would actually thoroughly enjoy to drink. Don't just say you're not a beer drinker or you're not this just because you had one bad experience. Give it a try.
Don't be a negative Nelly. Get out there and do it again. Anyway, good discussion, Mike. Thank
always.
You.
Always.
Let's go to mystery beers.
All right.
So A.
Much more of an ambery hue than...
Well, it's like a brownish amber to it.
Well, not full-blown brown, though.
No.
I would say almost like a red amber.
Yeah. It's got red, but it's got a tinge of brown to it.
Little copperiness going on.
Pretty see-through, though. That's... Yeah. There's a little bit of, like, a haziness to it. But doesn't seem to be any sediment. What does it smell like? Mmm.
Got a strong malt aroma to it.
Yeah, very, very malty in there. Getting some fruity notes. Darker fruity notes. Get a little bit of a strawberry aspect. I'm actually getting a little bit of that kind of... When I said on the double cannon last episode, I was getting a little bit of like a fruit roll-up. I am getting a little fruit roll-up on the nose of this, like a strawberry fruit roll-up again. But it's not as pronounced as it was in that double cannon. There's a lot of honey notes. There's some piney notes. Very sweet smelling.
Definitely sweet. I get the honey there. I don't get too much pineal.
With a little bit of... There's a fruitiness and there's a little bit of like a tart fruit smell to it. Get a little... Yeah, it's maybe strawberry-ish. I could get a tad bit of like a cherry, like fresh cherry note too on the nose. You've tasted it. What do you think?
Kind of bland in the taste profile. It has a musky, little bit of sweet maltiness going on. I almost want to say like it's in like an old school ale style, an old ale. Maybe a scotch ale, but...
I think you're really picking up on something when you said like a musky aspect. Yeah. It is like musty. It's earthy. Not like sticks, like no. Twigs. No, I think like kind of like twigs, like a branch, like a little bit of a tea.
See, I was thinking like dust in the air, or like when you're mm-hmm. raking up your leaves and you get that fine powder of leaves from crushing yeah. it up, and that starts going up in your nose.
Yeah, definitely. I do get a tad bit of a pine note. That honey aspect is definitely in there. Mm. If I'm really tasting hard, I get a slight caramelly aspect to it. It's very watery on the finish.
Very light. Light body beer.
Extremely light. Mm. It tastes like it's almost all malt. I'm not really getting any of those fruit notes that I was getting in the smell.
It's kind of a bland beer on the taste. I like the aroma. But the taste to finish for me, it's a little bland. A little lackluster.
There's, since I don't have any more of it in my mouth, but I'm just kind of like tasting the air left in my mouth, I'm getting a nutty aspect left over from it that coats my mouth.
I can see that.
Which actually that nutty aspect is kind of nice. I'd like to taste it more in the actual beer. Hmm. There's just, I mean, it's just kind of there.
Yeah.
I can't say that it's bad, but I can't say that it's good either.
No, it's drinkable.
I don't think I'd drink it again, though. Just because I feel like it's not worth it.
Once again, though, it's one of those things where would I go out and buy my own money for it? Probably not. If somebody were to hand me a bottle of it and say, here, have a beer. I drink it? Yeah, more than likely I would. Yeah.
It's just so neutral.
Whoa.
So neutral. Oh, Mike's moving on.
I jumped the B.
Well, okay, real quick. B is very dark, although around the edge you can see some brown.
Holding it up to the light, you can see through a little bit. But yeah, you get a very strong chocolatey.
I get peanut butter.
I was about to say peanut butter on there.
I get chocolate and I get peanut butter.
See, right there, it almost screams either Sweet Baby Jesus from Duclos or Terrapin's Liquid Bliss.
Or Purple Monkey Dishwasher by Evil Genius.
See, I always forget about them because for me, Evil Genius... Their beers are so-so. They make a drinkable beer. They're nothing I've had really write home as an awesome, awesome beer.
Yeah.
They sell in their names alone. Purple Monkey Dishwasher. How can you not love saying that?
The newest one they just came out with.
Shut up, Meg. How can you not argue with that? A nice Family Guy reference. Ma, the meatloaf.
Marketing.
Yeah.
That's why we don't allow that in this show.
And that's why we do the blind tastings.
Exactly. Also, there's out there Big Gruesome, which is a chocolate peanut butter stout by Springhouse. But I don't think this would be that because I think it's thicker and darker. I think this is a peanut butter chocolate porter, is my guess. A lot of peanut butter, though. Like, tons of, like, creamy, mm-hmm. peanutty peanut butter on the nose and that chocolate right behind it. But the peanut butter is forefront, like, right up there.
It's almost all you can smell. You get a little hint of chocolate, but then just a big punch of peanut butter.
I get a little bit of a coffee roast-ish aspect on the very end of the nose, though. But did you try it yet?
Yep.
What do you get? Ooh, peanut butter.
Yeah. Lots of peanut butter.
Damn peanut butter. And it's
definitely not the Duclos Sweet Baby Jesus. I can tell you that right now. That's much more of a heavier style beer. Much more balanced in the chocolate peanut butter flavors. So if that's that one right now, I'll be surprised.
I'm not getting as much of the chocolate as I expected. I get a ton of peanut butter. Yeah. And the peanut butter in it, I like. It's a good, clean peanut butter flavor. Yes. And it's creamy. Yeah. It's not an artificial peanut butter flavor. Not at all. It tastes legit peanut butter, and it tastes creamy, and that's nice. But then after that, I get a little bit of like a sweet and sour malt note to it. You know what I mean? Like when the malt is so sweet that it gives a little bit of like a tangy sourness on the tongue.
Kind of like sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and it's like soy sauce. It gives a bit of a soy sauce finish to it, which I know Kelly Norman's going to love that. She always thinks it's funny when we say soy sauce notes on the show. Shout out to Kelly Norman. You're awesome. Thank you. I know she's probably cheering right now. I would like a lot more off the finish of this. I am getting kind of that sunflower seed husk finish to it that I don't like with my dark beers that are kind of like light on the malts on the finish. I love the peanut butter though. I feel like the peanut butter is really well integrated. I really like that aspect.
It's a really clean peanut butter flavor, but I feel like they went a little overboard with it. They could have toned down that peanut butter flavor and let more of the other flavors come through.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the peanut butter though. The peanut butter aspect does keep me going back. I will say that. I can't give it like a crazy high rating, but I can give it something.
One beer with dessert or something at the end of the night, I could dig one. Sitting out on a hot day, barbecuing, no, not the beer of choice at all.
Okay, now that I go back to A and I taste that, I feel like I can get a little bit of an apricot flavor in there. And a little bit of maybe like a cherry, like a fresh tart cherry.
I can kind of see that.
So actually B's giving A more flavor to it, but it's still, you know, you still got to try pretty hard to get something out of there. Okay. Yeah, and the flavors just fall off your tongue so fast with A. But
it's there, and then it's completely
peanut
gone.
Peanut butter and B, man. That there peanut butter. But, yeah, I mean, the problem for me with B is that the peanut butter is so nice, but then right after you get that hit of peanut butter, it's just like everything after that I feel like goes a little downhill. The more I'm drinking it now, it's got a little bit of an ashy finish to it. Tastes like ashes.
Yeah. Yeah, like for A, I'd probably rate around a 3.
Okay.
For B, depending on what mood I'm in. Like if I'm pairing it with dessert, I'd give it a higher rating. Just sitting here drinking it, I kind of wanted to rate it about the same as a 3 to 2 because it's like not one I just want to sit there and drink a pint glass. But pour a little bit into a goblet, go with a nice brownie, some Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh, okay. I'd give it a 6 at that point. But just sitting here drinking
it. So with food, you're saying?
With food, better. I'd give it like a 5-6, a nice, good quality dessert style beer. But to just sit there and drink while you're watching a football game, I'd give it a 1.
Okay. Okay, so you are going to give a 3 to A.
I'll give a 3 to A.
And what do you want to go with on B? I will say this real quick. Since you're talking about food with B, I will tell you a dessert food that I would love to have with B. Kit Kat.
Oh.
I think a Kit Kat would be magical with that beer. I really do.
100 grand bar?
No, because of the caramel. I feel like the caramel and peanut butter go
well together, though.
But the reason I say Kit Kat is because I think that I like the chocolate on the Kit Kat, but it's also very light because of the wafer inside. Yeah. So it's kind of like a light... okay. aspect, which would really let the right. peanut well, butter shine.
I'm going to pretend I'm having Kit Kats with this right okay. now, and go. I'll rate this one a 5 as well, because this is a great food dessert beer, but to just sit there watching a football, baseball game with, I don't recommend, but paired with a nice dessert, excellent beer.
So you're giving this a 5?
I'll give it a 5. Okay. With food. With food.
5 with food. That's Mike's disclaimer. So do not have this beer without yeah. food, apparently. Because without dessert. Food, you say what, like a 1 without
yeah.
food?
Without food, okay. yeah. This is not one I can just sit there and drink.
Okay. So I'm actually going to give a 2. I don't think it's a terrible beer, but I just don't think there's...
A bland blah beer.
For me, personally, yeah. there's not a ton going on, and I wouldn't want it again. I just wouldn't, because there's just not... It's not worth the calories, no. in my opinion.
Oh, well, now we're calorie counting. Jesus.
Yeah, right.
What, are we going Weight Watchers next?
Maybe. So, B, though, I think I'd give a slight bump. I'm going to give it a 3. I don't like a lot of the beer. I do really like the peanut butter, though, and I feel like the peanut butter is it. Like Mike, yeah. I would really like it, and I think it'd be awesome with, like, a Kit Kat. I could probably give it higher if I was actually someone, like, put a melted Kit Kat in the beer or something.
Yeah. But, some kind of dessert-y style food to go with it.
Yeah, but I gotta go 3. So, overall, B is the winner with an overall 4, which is actually not bad at all.
Not at all.
And A is the loser of the episode with 2.5. So we will go ahead and reveal A first. So A with an overall 2.5 is...
Oh, the 5 a.m. Saint.
It's by BrewDog. It is a hoppy red ale called 5 a.m. Saint. It is 5% alcohol by volume. Yeah, it probably tastes about that. Yeah, BrewDog's out of Scotland, I believe.
They're gypsy brewers.
Are they? I thought they had their own brewery.
They might at this point now, but I know when they first started, they were gypsy brewers.
Really? I had no idea. It says that you should expect a lot of citrus, orange, and berry flavors. I got some of that, I was seeing strawberry on the nose. So there's that berry aspect, but... okay. But it said this is one that says best before, and it says best before August 2015, mm-hmm. so...
Getting a little close to its prime.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Just not huge on that. But what did win this episode... B with an overall 4, and it is
Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
There you go. Evil Genius's Purple Monkey Dishwasher, Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter, Ale Brewed with Natural Flavors, they say. Let me see what the... Where is the... Da-da-da-da-da. Is there an ABV on this?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't see an ABV. I guess they don't do that. Nah. Hold on, Mike. We're almost done. He's got pee really bad, apparently.
This I've been drinking a lot of water. Recently.
This one, just so you know, this is over a year old. So the bottled on date actually says March 13th of 2014. So I do think that over that time span, the body could have dropped out a little bit. So maybe that's part of the reason for it. You know, being, I guess, basically at this point, it's almost a year and 3 months old. So, yeah, so that might be part of it. Had this been a fresh bottle... It might actually have rated a little bit higher because I feel like the body may have been more to it. But overall, I really love the way the peanut butter was integrated in the beer. So Evil Genius, you did a good job with that. I would, you know, honestly, I'd like to see a lot more stouts done with peanut butter as opposed to porters. Just because porters, for me, tend to have a lot less of a body. And with a thicker body, I want the peanut butter because I want more of like a... more present chocolatey aspect that you get with those heavier bodies. So, you know. But anyway. Mike, are you going to finish that Purple Monkey Dishwasher, you think?
Oh, yeah. I never let a wounded soldier go down.
I'm not going to finish the 5 a.m. Saint. Sorry.
Well, I've already almost gotten there, so one quick swig will down that last little bit I have left in my glass. You
there
know?
You go.
The way I look at it is as long as light is not on the label... I'll at least finish the beer. I'm not going to pour it down the drain.
Well, that's a good philosophy. And on that note, thank you everyone for listening. Thanks, Mike, for being here again.
Always a pleasure.
Everybody, please remember to keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.